Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
I love riding my bike. I love running. I don't care what they think about it. I love it.
At that point when I knew I was going to win, chills just went up and down my entire body.
I don't believe there are any good or bad foods. Food is food.
I still feel so passionate about getting that record that I'm like, I'm just going to do it.
As an athlete, I was like, what's my story or what's your story? What can you learn from it? And what can you teach people?
Welcome to the Iron Woman podcast. I'm Haley Chura. I'm joined by my usual co-host, Alyssa Gadeski. And this week, special guest, Ella Natician. Ella is actually our show producer and it's race week for Ella. So Ella, like, tell us, you know, about yourself. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's fun to be on this side of the recording for sure. I've been listening to Iron Woman for a few years now. So super cool to be on this side. Excited to be here. It's right now sitting just outside the Speedway in Miami. We're in the Pro Athlete Lounge. We're racing tomorrow morning. So super exciting. Haley and I both actually ran a lap of the course together just now. That was super fun. Getting to meet Haley in person is always fun as well. So it was great. Yeah, just excited to race tomorrow and see what happens.
And so Ella, I know you are from Canada and yes, it is like a colder climate where you're from right now. So, you know, stepping off the plane in Miami, coming out of the airport, give me like the lowdown. Was it like, you know, were you hit immediately with heat and humidity? Are you like, oh, this is no big thing? How are you feeling about that aspect of the race?
Yeah, I think I've been mentally preparing for the heat ever since I watched the live broadcast from last year's show or from last year's race. So I think about a month ago, I spent a Saturday watching the entire live broadcast of Clash Miami from 2022. And immediately after that, I went to swim practice. I talked to my coach and I'm like, Lisa, please help me. Like, I'm so terrified of this heat. Like, what can I do to prepare for this race? It's going to be so hot. I just watched like six pro women drop out of the race. It's snowing. It's minus 40 degrees Celsius outside where I live. So, okay, what do I need to do? So it's definitely been in my mind the entire time preparing for this race, just the heat. So when I stepped off the plane, I was like, yeah, this is basically what I was anticipating. Immediately started sweating. So, you know, I think I'm mentally prepared. Just we'll see if I'm physically prepared, but yeah.
Yeah. Did you do any like sauna training or anything like that? Did you have access to any of that? Or was it just like the mental preparation more than anything?
I didn't do any sauna training, but I did follow a bit of a hot bath protocol. So what I did is I'd just do like about three or four times a week, a regular session and regular temperature, and then immediately get into a 40 degree Celsius bath. So started with like 50 minutes and then kind of worked my way up to 40 minutes. So yeah, that was the protocol I followed. I couldn't find a sauna, but we'll see. Hopefully that helped. It definitely got easier as I went through it. So I was like, okay, some sort of adaptation is happening.
Yeah. And this is only your second pro race. Is that right?
Yeah. This is my second like longer distance race, I guess. So the nerves are pretty high. I'm not going to lie. I have raced like a few Continental Cups draft legal. So you know, those are a little more high caliber race, but this is still definitely something completely different and something new for me. So yeah.
And I think traveling, you had a bit of a bike mishap. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, you know, all my luggage arrived, my bike arrived, everything was pretty smooth for the most part. But when I got to the track yesterday after building my bike, I'm kind of like spinning my tire, checking to make sure everything looks right. And I'm immediately like, okay, something does not look right on my front tire. Like I can see it's not spinning straight. And there was a bit of a bulge in the tire. So I was like, okay, like maybe it's just a tire, like maybe the tire is just old. I need to go buy a new tire. So went to the bike shop yesterday and the wheel itself was actually bent. So it got a little bit bent during travel. Luckily, the bike shop, they were super nice. They gave me a pro discount. So that was also super kind. The guy was just great there. He was able to bend my wheel back into shape yesterday. So now it is straight. So it wasn't actually like a huge hiccup, but yeah, I did go through that. And because of that, I did miss like the bike course preview yesterday, but I was able to come back to the pro lounge and get a little bit of a Zwift spin in. So that was also just a huge perk, like having access to a pro lounge, air conditioned bike trainer setup. I was like, this is so awesome. And I'm so grateful that that's here. So that was also nice.
And you said that you just ran a lap with Haley. So what has been your impression of the course, you know, with the Miami Speedway? Is it like overwhelming? What does it feel like to be out on the track?
It's honestly so cool. Like when I drove in yesterday, I just looked at my boyfriend and I'm like, this is so cool. Like this venue is something so unique. Like I've never done a race like this. Usually you're in like some lake, then you're biking on some highway, then you're running, you know, on some sidewalk or path or something, and walking in and being like, oh my gosh, like it's just gonna be us on this speedway, like we got to do all these laps. It was so cool. The bike has a lot of turns, which I really like. I think it's super fun and it'll keep my mind occupied, hopefully. So I actually really enjoy all those turns on the bike course. And then the run course, pretty straightforward, but the pavement is really nice. Two laps or two aid stations per lap, which will also help. So like, okay, just half a lap, then you get an aid station, half a lap, then you get an aid station. So overall, I'm actually really excited to race this course. I think it's going to be really fun.
How far is the lap? Remind
so me. First of all, I'll go through the whole thing. The swim is two laps and it comes out to 1700 meters and it's in a spring fed lake. And so it's 83 degree water, which is pretty warm, but we get a swim course preview later today. And I think I've heard it's like crystal clear. Like it's super clear. And you
like the water is, So like the water. Oh, nice.
So I think it's pretty nice. And then the bike is 17 laps of, I think it's 2.2 miles. I don't know. What is that in kilometers?
Yeah, like just like 4-point-something kilometers. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
So it ends up being about just under 40 miles, I think, on the bike. And then the run is 7 laps of the outer oval. So the bike, we go inside on the road course, and then the bike is, or the run is just the outer oval. So it's a little bit shorter lap. It's just over a mile, I think. And so we do 7 laps for 10 mile run.
Okay. Yeah. So you have to go a half a mile basically, and you'll get an aid station each time. So I assume neither of you are planning on carrying. Are you planning on carrying cold
water? I'm planning on carrying water. I'm bringing, I mean, I ran yesterday and it was so hot, like Kona Energy Lab hot. That's how the whole thing feels. I think they used a surface temperature on the track and it was 135 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh my gosh.
So today it's a little bit cooler. There's a wind, there's a breeze. And
everyone's super shoes are going to be melting before our eyes. Just kidding, guys. It's going to be great.
But I mean, if it is, as Ella mentioned, watching this race last year, I was in the same boat. I was like, what is happening? I've never seen anything like it. And then running yesterday, it is one thing to like have Kona in October, but I'm not ready for it in March. So I will be trying to manage the heat. I mean, the thing about carrying a bottle for me is that I do it all the time in training. It's very familiar and I can always throw it away if I don't want it. But I am glad to know there's two aid stations. But I mean, I'm like, yeah, I'm from Montana. I'm not in that different situation. And I don't know if I did quite the same heat training protocol. mine is going to be, it's going to be a game in heat management, but I'm excited for the challenge.
Yeah. I think especially the hot swim, like that's something that I'm kind of nervous for sure, is just getting out of the swim and already being so hot is going to be something I've never experienced before. So that's also something
we're embracing the challenge, but we're all in it together. We're all in it together. And it is, like she said, pretty cool that we're on this track and women only race in the morning. We start at 8:30 in the morning and then the men start at noon. So we get to, you know, get through it and then watch the men suffer.
Early swim times are competitive to get at my pool, but I say early, like the 7 a.m. one, right? But I snagged the early swim time, you guys. I was on it just so I can get my swim. And then I'm on the treadmill to be able to watch like the Facebook broadcast of you both. So I'm very excited that will line up.
There isn't a Facebook broadcast. I think there'll be some social, and there's a tracker, but I actually don't think there's going to be a live broadcast. You would have ended up watching last year's. You're like, wait, Ashley Gentle's there.
I swear I thought I saw they said something would be on Facebook. Maybe they're just doing a few like live updates or something. During the
might be
nothing.
That. There might be some. Know. I would try the Instagram, but by the time this airs, it's over.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, I was thinking of you. I'll be watching the tracker as I run on the treadmill then. But Ella, so you seem pretty relaxed, right? For a newer pro doing an interview. Do you think that being in like having listened to interviews has helped prepare you a lot for pre-race things like this? You know, like what's your kind of impression of, I know that clash races often have not a ton of obligations, but there are a little bit more opportunities for a pro to kind of take advantage of media ahead of time and things like that. What's been your impression? Do you like this sort of thing? Is it nerve-wracking for you?
I'd say I like it for sure. Working at Feisty Media, I have had exposure to pro women getting interviewed. And also, I think just listening to all the newer pros that you two have on the Iron Woman podcast has been pretty influential on me, because just hearing their stories, okay, like they're doing their first pro race, or they're doing their second pro race, or just finished doing, you know, their first year of pro racing. And hearing those stories has actually made me think, oh, okay, like there's other people that are my similar level doing similar things to me. And just hearing, I think those newer pros has kind of helped me to get confidence a bit. So that's been helpful. And then I was in Kona as well, helping with media coverage with Feisty Media there. So I think, yeah, I saw a ton of pro women get interviewed. So having exposure definitely helps, just knowing what to expect. I haven't had to do pretty much any media coverage, but you know, when I was running with Haley, there's quite a few photographers chasing us down, taking photos. So I was like, oh, this is exciting. I'm like with the celebrity here. So that's pretty much been the only media obligations I've had, but I'm definitely open to them. I think it's fun, and it's nice to just get coverage of the women, and yeah, it's good.
The key is the very bright kit. And I'm like, you can't miss me, take my photo. But I do want to let our listeners know like what you do at Feisty Media, because you are an integral part mm-hmm. of the Iron Women podcast, but maybe not day to day on the show. So can you tell us a little bit more about how you got involved with Feisty?
Yeah, for sure. So I heard about Feisty Media. I used to train a little bit with Ellen Pinnock's brother. So Ellen is the creative director at Feisty Media. And Ellen and I actually went to a couple of training camps together, and she let me know, oh, I'm working at this super cool company called Feisty Media. They have all these podcasts. And that's when I actually started listening to the Iron Woman and the If We Were Riding podcast. That was back in 2020. And then maybe about a year later, I saw Ellen post on her Instagram, oh, we're hiring for this operations position. And I kind of read through it and realized, oh, this is actually a lot of what I do. I used to work in human resources and I have a business degree. So I was looking at the description. I was like, oh, this is actually a pretty good job for me. And I do triathlon, of course, so I'm interested in that and women in sports. So I applied for it, met Sarah, got hired, and I've been working now for almost 2 full years at Feisty Media. So I do a bunch of different operations stuff, manage a lot of the sponsorship relationships. So podcast advertisements, all that sort of stuff. I do all our contracting, invoicing, a little bit of event planning, a little bit of social media. You know, we're a small team, so everyone does everything. But then also I've gotten to help out a little bit with the Iron Woman podcast and on the weekly production calls and coordinate sponsorship and everything there as well. So yeah, that's what I do at Feisty.
And what has it been like to work in is it exclusively women run mm-hmm. company? Yeah. So like, what is your impression been of that? And yeah, I'm curious to hear kind of your reflection on that.
I actually really love it. And at my old company, when I worked in human resources, that's also a very woman dominated field. So I actually worked on a team there that was almost predominantly female as well. But I think it's great. And I think something that is great is working with a lot of athletes. That's something that you really don't get in most corporate environments. So, you know, I used to work, okay, I had to work from 8 to 5 every single day. So if I'm training, I'm swimming from 6 to 7, and then I'm doing some sort of other workout maybe from like 6 p.m. onwards, which is super early and super late. And it was so exhausting trying to do that. And now just having the flexibility of being able to, okay, I literally like go for my trainer and I'll just like roll off my trainer in my bike shorts, like right onto my desk at home. So the flexibility is great. And just having people that understand what it's like being an athlete and trying to be a high performing athlete is super helpful. And yeah, Sarah and Catherine and the whole team are supportive of my goals, and I know they're cheering for me, which is helpful. So I think the female team is amazing, and also athletes is amazing. So yeah, I can't say enough good things.
Yeah. And we'd love to hear more about you as an athlete. How did you get into triathlon?
Yeah. So I did a bunch of sports growing up. Once I was in junior high, I always loved being a swimmer though. I did swim club a bit and I was never that fast of a swimmer, but I loved being in the water. So I eventually transitioned to synchronized swimming just as another sport to stay, you know, in the water, in the pool, doing what I love. And I loved synchronized swimming, but I was really inflexible. So I kept getting injured and I eventually had to quit because I was just getting way too injured from not being able to do the splits like every other girl on my team. So at that point, I was looking for another sport. I knew I wanted to do something involving swimming, and my parents had always grown up being runners. They would do like local triathletes as well, or local triathlons. So I had been exposed to that growing up, and I thought, okay, like my parents can probably teach me how to run. I know how to swim, so I'll just need to figure out how to bike. So joined my local triathlon club when I was in grade 10, and I had always had a bit of a focus on draft legal racing. So my first race was an age group race. I got first and I was so hooked on triathlon. I was like, this is so fun. Like biking down this beautiful highway, the wind's blowing in my hair. Like I just absolutely loved it. And then the very next weekend I did my first draft legal race, which was the qualifying race for Canada Summer Games that year. And I got dead last. So I think it's kind of funny because a lot, you know, often you'll listen to interviews and it'll be like pros being like, you know, it was my first triathlon. I got first. Like I was, you know, just surprised myself and got first. I was like, no, like I was literally dead last. I was almost lapped out. Like I was suffering so hard. It was this course that had this insane hill, like out of Fish Creek, which is just like a provincial park in the city I live in. But anyways, it was a super hard course. I honestly think it was the hardest like race I've still done because I was maybe like 5 months into triathlon, just suffering so much, got dead last, but kept with it and, you know, improved a little bit over high school. And then when I was finishing high school, I had a few stress fractures in my foot and I was getting pretty burnt out and just, yeah, pretty disappointed in how my last season had gone in grade 12. So I actually quit triathlon at the time, just focused on being a university student my first year of university. So didn't really do any sort of endurance sport, would just go to the gym and run pretty much every day. And then when I was going into my second year of university, one of my friends that I used to do triathlon with, he was on the cross country team at the University of Calgary. And he kind of convinced me like, hey, they need some girls to run on the team. Like you should really consider trying out. It's super fun. So I did that. And then getting back into that organized sport again in university kind of made me fall back in love with competitive sport. And I was like, you know, like maybe I should give triathlon another shot and come back to the sport. So I took a bit of a 2-year break from triathlon, came back, and now I've been racing again for, this is my 5th season, I guess. But yeah, usually focusing on draft legal racing, just local draft legal events in Canada, nationals, stuff like that. And then a few continental cups as well. But last year, you know, after listening to the Ironman podcast so many times, I was like, oh, like this longer distance triathlon sounds pretty fun. Like, I think I need to try this. And I wasn't seeing a ton of progression in the short course draft legal stuff, just never really felt like I was able to express my training that well. So I was like, okay, like I really want to try one. So I did my first 70.3 last year at Santa Cruz and I really, really enjoyed it and kind of made the decision this year to switch to the longer stuff.
And do you, when you're at home, do you train with the squad or are you training mostly on your own now? How do you work that?
Yeah, I do train pretty much with a squad. So I have a club called Kronos Triathlon Club. So we swim together 4 times a week. So I'm pretty much always swimming with them. I bike with them once or twice a week, and then I run with them once or twice a week as well. And then all the rest of and we do strength together as well. And the rest of my workouts are on my own. So it's pretty nice. I get to have a group at least for one workout a day, if not two. And then I see my coach every single day as well, which is helpful to have the watchful eyes on me. So yeah, it's great. I do love having, for sure, the social aspect is huge for me, especially working from home, being able to go somewhere and see my friends, train together is pretty great.
Do you know what other races you're going to do this year, or are you just seeing how tomorrow goes and then make a plan from there?
I do have a tentative plan. I'm hoping to race Ironman 70.3 Chattanooga. That's actually the week after the gravel festival that Feisty Media puts on in Arkansas. So planning to, I think, just fly from the gravel festival to Atlanta and then race that. And then also tentatively planning for Ironman 70.3 Mont Tremblant. My sister lives in Montreal, so that's super nice to be able to go, and hopefully she might do one of the races as well. And then also thinking Ironman 70.3 Oregon. So those are kind of the tentative plans for the next few months.
And what about, like, you talked a little bit about injuries with synchronized swimming and like stress fractures in your feet in high school. Mm-hmm. How have you kind of approached sport as a professional now that, and like, it sounds like you've stayed pretty healthy mm-hmm. doing it so far. And, you know, 370.3s this year is going to be a big season ahead. So, you know, is that something you work on actively with your coach to stay healthy, or like, what kind of changes do you feel like have you made as you've matured and progressed as an athlete to help you stay healthy?
Yeah, I think being like really cautious just about volume and intensity is what I'm cognizant of. So I don't have a very high training load. I try and keep my, I try to not, you know, make any major changes in intensity or distance week after week. So I think just being really cognizant of that, and I've kind of found, you know, the mileage that works for me over the last 4 years, and just kind of sticking to that and trying to not compare myself to other athletes that might be doing more. I think that's my main approach, is just, you know, doing what works for me and not worrying too much about not running a ton or stuff like that. But then also recently I have struggled a little bit with just like being super tight. So trying to incorporate more massages, like I used to do maybe a massage every 1.5 months, and now I'm like, okay, like almost every 2 or 3 weeks I'll get a massage. And then yeah, trying to stretch and roll a little bit more as well, for sure. And fueling, I would say fueling is huge, because like in high school, I know I was not fueling enough, and working at Vice Media, that's a huge focus that we have, is just education and content about fueling properly. So I think that's something that I've learned a lot over the past 5 years, is just, okay, actually eating enough for my training and eating right after I finish training and all that sort of stuff has been huge.
And just to give our listeners a little perspective, we are sitting in the pro lounge overlooking the Speedway here at Homestead, Miami. It's pretty cool, but you might hear some noise in the background. You can guess who just walked in. We'll leave that up there, but it's pretty cool, the venue we have here. I think I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to kick off the season. I'm excited for Ella, and hopefully we're gonna have a post-race recap for all of our listeners, so stay tuned. If we pull this off, it will be impressive, because we gotta do the race and be coherent enough afterwards, which, yeah, if you watched that last year race, I mean, that's a big ask. So no promises.
Yeah, but thanks to you both for, you know, taking time pre-race. And I'll be watching any sort of coverage that comes out. And I think that the post-race will be super fun if you guys can pull it off. So fingers crossed there. And either way, Ella, good luck. Haley, you too. I'll be thinking of you both out there.
Bye, Alyssa. Okay, welcome back. It's post-race. This is Haley. I'm sitting here with Ella, and we both finished.
Yay.
Clash Miami. And Ella, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty tired right now. It was very hard and very hot, but it was also a super cool experience. So yeah, I guess I can maybe just kind of quickly do the cold notes of my day. The swim, I liked. I thought the water, it was pretty warm, the water, but they said it was going to be 30 degrees Celsius. I don't think it was actually that hot. I thought it was maybe a little bit cooler, so that was a nice surprise. The swim went pretty good. Not really too much to report there. Just swam as hard as I basically could. The bike was pretty good. Lots of laps, 17 laps, so...
It was like 17 and 3/4 laps, because we had that like little extra lap in the beginning that like didn't count.
Yeah, so it was definitely a lot of laps, but I mean, it was nice to have something to always think about. Okay, do this turn. Oh, okay, someone's passing me, drop back, all that sort of stuff. So that was cool. Something I really appreciated was like how they had the draft zone measured out, the two pylons. Just because I remember in the first long distance race I did, I had really no clue like what the draft zone was. Like, I just had it in my mind. But then for this one, I'm like, okay, like I can actually like see if I'm behind someone, like, am I the proper distance away? So that was nice. It just felt okay on the bike, like not amazing, not horrible, just kind of okay. And then the run was kind of just like a grind, doing loops and loops and loops. And it was very hot. So, but you know, all in all, definitely a good experience, kind of just like nice early season race. So yeah, the placing was nothing to write home about, but still really happy I came and just like had a good hard effort.
Do you know what place you got? I should know this, but it's,
I got
honestly
13th.
Hard. That's
so awesome. I think it was 13th out of like 16 or 17 women that started. I think 16, so.
Or that finished or start? I mean,
or
like,
finished.
I feel like,
I think 16 finished. I don't know how many started, so.
I mean, that's awesome. I think that's so good.
Now tell me all about your day.
My recap. I'm like, my brain is working a little slow. I was very warm in the swim. I think, I guess 30 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is. I guess it was, they said 81 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
I think it was 80. I would guess 83. I'm a like pool or water temperature snob. It felt warm to me. I was like, I had an okay start, I feel like, but then I kind of was just like, oh my goodness. I was just getting really warm in the water, but we did two laps. I think I came out maybe third behind Sarah and Pamela, but I had like a train behind me and then everyone passed me in transition, which wasn't unexpected, but I felt pretty good in the beginning of the bike, and actually I'm pretty happy about my bike ride. I lost time to the front for sure, but I handled, I think, the technical nature of the course pretty well. And I will say it was, like you said, incredibly fair riding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just, it was really cool that it's all women out there. But it is a lot of laps. And I'm so glad there's a lap counter for
yes,
us.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I had my bike computer going and I had like mileage, so I could kind of like keep that. And I will say, like, I feel like I was a little more with it mentally. I did carry more calories on the bike, but compared to Daytona, which was good. And I felt a little bit at times like I was March fit, which is like not where I necessarily want to be, but it was okay. And then I think I came off the bike fourth, which I was very pleasantly happy with. And then I started the run and Pamela Oliveira like flew by me in like the first quarter mile. And then I got to where the first aid station was supposed to be and it was not there, and I like had a minor meltdown, and I was very, very, very hot, and luckily the second aid station was there. And so, and then I actually started, once I could, like, got my faculties together, I was like, okay, I need to take two bottles at every aid station, because mm-hmm. I thought there would be slightly bigger bottles, and they were tiny, and I was like, two. And then I actually got in a groove where I was doing okay. It was a lot of laps. I mean, seven laps. And it was, at one point, I was like running and I was like, I think I'm at mile seven, but I'm not sure. And I know I could look at my watch, but it was just like, my brain wasn't working that well. And it was a bit of a battle. Like to be only 10 miles, it felt really
yeah,
hard.
And I would say like, it was so nice coming by the finish because there's the announcers and there's yes. all these people cheering. But then when you're in the back straight, it's kind of like lonely. Like it's just like, you're kind of out there. At least I was, like, I couldn't really see many girls in front of me. I knew there wasn't really many girls like very close behind me, so I'm just like, okay, just like get around to where there's actually people. You're just kind of out there alone on the pavement. So
yeah, which is wild because it's a smaller loop than like Daytona, but it felt like just as big. I don't know, that is like a weird mental thing for sure. That was definitely a maybe just because it was so much hotter, but we did luckily have a little bit of cloud cover, which
yeah
saved me.
Yeah, like it was definitely the last like three laps of the run was where I was like, okay, like I can feel the temperature rising.
Really?
So for the men, I think it's going to be like the heat will probably
yeah,
be a factor,
like,
for sure.
The men's race right now up in the pro panel or pro box, pro lounge. I'm like, what is this? And then, yeah, so at mile, I had like two laps to go. So I made a major tactical error and I should know better, but I put like, I got caught up in the fact that I was catching Sarah Perez Sala, which I think I got a little overexcited. It was right before an aid station. I think Brittany Higgins was also in front of me. And then I like went to the aid station, grabbed so many things, like choked him down. I was like coughing and I like went for the pass. And I shouldn't have. Like I made up like 30 seconds in like a quarter mile. That was like idiot move. And so I caught her, I passed her, she went right with me. And I just didn't have it in me. I still had two laps to go, and so she ran right on my shoulder for two laps, and I tried to surge a few times to like drop her. I don't know if she noticed. She probably didn't even notice. It was probably like a mental surge more than an actual physical surge. But I tried, I got like 1 inch. And then with like when we hit the carpet, she went, and I think she got like 10 seconds on me in like 100 meters. I just definitely didn't have the speed. It was like I2 versus long course for sure. And she won big time. So she definitely just wanted it more than me, and I give her a lot of credit. I give myself a little credit because I'm like, I don't think I've ever been that close to her in a race before. Mm-hmm. So she finished fourth, I finished fifth, and I think Lucy Byram won,
yep.
Sif Madsen second, yep. Pamela Oliveira third.
Yeah, that's right.
Then Sarah, then me. So so overall, it was like a satisfying day in a lot of ways, but it was also like, I don't know. I have a lot of lessons to learn, but I'm also like, maybe I'm too old. Am I an old dog that can't learn new tricks? I'm like, I should know better. I had like, that's the thing you talk about the announcers. Like, it was like Kevin McKinnon, while I was running by, is like, Haley caught up 3 minutes on Sarah, and now Sarah's right with her. And I was just like, oh no. But anyway, live and learn.
Yep.
But yeah, great race. I mean, it's kind of cool that we get to watch the men now. I was thinking about how when I was like halfway through the bike, I was like, hey, I'm already halfway through the bike, and they aren't.
They're just waking up.
Yes. No. So it is cool, and I'm really, really excited because I have my athletes, Diane and Betty, who are racing tomorrow, as well as good friend Ernie Janelle. And I'm really, they're racing the sprint tomorrow, so I'm actually like super, super excited. They were out there cheering for me today, and I get to watch them.
Are you going to hand out medals at all, Haley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they let
yeah.
me, yes. I will be out there handing yes. out medals. Are you coming yep. back to hand out medals?
Yes, I'm doing medals tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So that'll be fun.
Yes, and I got to meet Colin, your boyfriend, who was out cheering a yes. lot, and he cheered for me too, and that was very cool.
Yes, I could hear Betty and Ernie cheering for me every lap too, hear the like iconic horn, so that definitely helped.
I'm so glad you got yeah. that experience, because I feel like I've talked about that a lot on the podcast, and it's an experience.
It helped, for sure.
Yeah, but congratulations, Ella.
You too, Haley.
It was really cool to race with you.
Yes.
I do think that was like really awesome, like you looked great out there. Let's talk about your sponsor. Like, you have a
yeah.
kit, your kit sponsor, you looked, like I said, looked great.
Yeah,
so tell us, I mean, early in your pro career, who's supporting you?
Yeah, so I'm sponsored by Curse Sports. I kind of had the connection through Feisty Media. I'd met them at Kona, actually. They did a women's brunch, and we went there, and I was just so impressed with the amazing community of women they have, actually. I think there's like, I don't know, 50, 60 women just at this brunch. Everyone was super friendly, super nice. So just a really good fit actually between like Feisty and Kerr. So I kind of met them through there, and then they were looking for a pro woman to sponsor this year, and I reached out, and then yeah, that's kind of how it happened. But super grateful to have their support. It, you know, as a new pro, every little bit makes such a huge difference. So it's nice. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you looked awesome. I was excited because I got to debut my my neon kit that actually was inspired by the Barbie movie that's coming out this summer, which I don't know anything about, but I just sent a picture of it to the mock apparel designer, and
yes.
what she came up with was like amazing, and so I did love wearing that. I feel like it was very color appropriate for Miami, and hopefully you know, rookie mistakes during the race tactically, but veteran in the fashion sense,
yes,
both of us.
Absolutely.
Even though you're early in your career, you looked awesome, so it was I feel like we get best dressed, if nothing else. But Ella, congratulations. You know, I think I'll hopefully get to hand out some medals with you tomorrow. Recover well, and we'll be back on a production call soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Haley.
You have been listening to the Iron Women podcast, hosted by Haley Chura and Alyssa Gadeski.
Iron Women is a production of Feisty Media and is edited by Amelia Perry and produced by Ella Natition.
Head to livefeisty.com to find more podcasts, events, stories, and fresh perspectives.
Thanks for listening.